Hello, my friend. Welcome back. Greetings. Welcome to the Watering Hole, Die Watergat. My name is Peter Warne, and we're going to spend some good golden quality time together again today around the life-giving, reassuring Word of God. So today, part three of our series on Christian living today, we are looking at living in the resurrection power of God as sons and daughters of the Most High God, ready and able to face anything that life can throw at us. And so before we get started on today's content, let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Our Father, indeed, we thank you for your truth. The message of the cross is freedom of sonship. Lord, would you help us to get a deeper revelation? We ask, Lord, that you would help us to get a revelation of, to see ourselves the way that you see us. And Lord, we made a decision to open our hearts to allow you to work in us. So would you work that in us today, Lord, that we are sons and daughters and not beggars and slaves and orphans. Deliver us, Lord, from religion, from religious thinking, from plastic Christianity. In Jesus' name we ask it. For your name's sake. Amen. Okay, come Holy Spirit. Have your way today. So today, living as a child of God, Christian living today, as a son, not an orphan. And this is part one of two messages. Let's begin in the word Romans 8. At verse 19 in the ESV. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. So that means it hasn't happened yet. Now, Father God loves his children. He wants us to enjoy him and to enjoy Jesus and ourselves as much as he does. He dances over us. Come on. The spirit of sonship enables us to do that. But the orphan spirit will disable us from doing that. So there is a spirit of sonship, and there is a spirit of orphanship. The one is from God, the other isn't. An orphan spirit will convince you that you don't need anyone. You are an island, and it's better to stay that way because everyone is out to hurt you, to undervalue you, to abandon you, to abuse you, and nobody understands you. Now, most of us, if not all of us, are probably afflicted to one degree or another by the orphan spirit. And if you hear in my messages that I often come back and speak about the same things, that's fine. We need to hear the truth many times until we get it. And beloved, today you need to know that this orphan spirit is lying to you. Now, the dangers of the orphan spirit. It causes you to see yourself as a burden. that people just put up with you. They just tolerate you. Nobody really wants you. It will cause you to see yourself as unworthy, that you will constantly break yourself down and sell yourself short. It will cause you to live on the outskirts, on the outers of society, feeling disconnected, feeling unappreciated, and feeling misunderstood. It will cause you to constantly seek man's approval and God's approval, man's praise and God's praise. And when you don't get this approval and praise as you expected, then pride rises up in you. And you will hear yourself saying, well, I should just stay away from people. I should just disconnect. I won't do anything for anyone anymore. I'll just shut up. Come on. You are so precious. You were bought at such a high price. God wants you to have your voice back. The spirit of orphanhood will cause you to not do the very things that God wants you to do. It will cause you to rebel against God. And the Bible tells us rebellion is as to the sin of witchcraft. It will breed jealousy and insecurity in your life, like in the story of Cain versus Abel, where you are always competing against everybody, where you never find a place to just rest in God and receive from God. You always have to earn or be working or be deserving or. And I think probably worst of all, the orphan spirit will make you not know how to receive love, how to work it through, to process it, and how to show love. The orphan spirit will turn you into an intimacy cripple. Now, that's just a recap of something we said before. But today I want to talk about living as a son, not as a nobody. Now remember, son includes daughter. Living as a somebody, not as a nobody. We live in a world of throwaway people where nothing and no one is any longer of value to anyone. It's a terrible thing to say. But in general terms, that's the world. A society that would be very quick to tell you, you're a nobody. You don't fit in. You don't belong. You're not one of us. Especially if you take a stand for the truth. Oh, my word. People have become just a number. Even in mega churches. And love is very scarce. It has become very easy to feel unwanted and unloved. Even if you're in a group of people, you can be alone and not be lonely, but you can be in a crowd and be very, very lonely. Now, God is not surprised by all these changes in the world. And so, beloved, neither should we be. The Bible describes us all just as part and parcel of the end times. 2 Timothy 3 verse 2. People will love only themselves and money. Have you seen the people with their cell phones? Filming themselves. Oh, come on, man. How narcissistic have people become? Posing for their own camera. Oh, I can't stand it. The Bible says people will hate everything that is good. In Matthew 24, verse 12, in the CEV, evil will spread and cause many people to stop loving others. You see, but even in the sick, messed up, unloving world, there is a voice calling to us, a roepstem. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Calling you, telling us that we are a somebody, deeply loved, highly valued, precious. There is a voice. In Hosea chapter 1, at verse 10, I read out of the Message Bible. In the very place where they were once named nobody, they will be named God's somebody. I love it. We know that this passage is talking of Israel, who will one day, maybe soon, realize Jesus is the Christ and will call on him. But it also reassures us that what is important to us at the end of the day is not what the world or anybody else says about us, including ourselves. But what is important is what God says about us and how he sees us. We've just finished a whole series on search for identity. You might want to revisit it. So, nobody is a nobody. Nobody is just a table cleaner, just a waitron, just a mom, just a housewife, just an old lady, just a pensioner, just a poor piece job worker, just a housekeeper, or just a teacher, or just a whatever. No. And yet, we often find ourselves in places or seasons of life where we feel like a nobody, where it can become very difficult to see our own value if we feel constantly overlooked, neglected, simply tolerated, or even when we connect our value to how important we are, or the car we drive, or our bank balance, or the position we hold. Those are false. How rich, or how educated, or how connected, or how successful in the world's eyes. Don't even go there. You don't have to be successful in the world's eyes to be a success in God's eyes. Come on, you need to hear that. There was a woman living in the 8th century, 800 years before Jesus, who probably felt like a nobody. I've spoken of her before, but her story is still in the Bible because we still need to learn from her. Her name was Gomer, I bet if someone asked her, "Who are you?" she'd probably say, "Oh, I'm a nobody. I've got a past I'm ashamed of. I was a prostitute." Or whatever your history is. I had an abortion, or I lost my business, or but her answer should be, "I'm not a nobody. I am Gomer. Yes, I have my faults, but I am loved and accepted." Now, Gomer had been a prostitute, but she became a prophet's wife. Her identity changed when she married Hosea. Your identity changed when you received Christ as your Savior, when you declared, "I do," to Jesus. You too received a new identity. You became God's somebody. When you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Hear this now. You are not your faults. You are not your current failures or your past mistakes. You are not your successes or even your virtues. You are not what you do, what you did, what you haven't done, or what you should have done, or what you wish you'd done. You are not what you have gone through. You are not what somebody has said about you. You are not a nobody. You are a chosen, loved person whom God calls his beloved. Just like Gomer, you are a somebody, a loved, significant, precious somebody. God chose you even when you felt like a nobody. So, how do you know God's love? How do you know and embrace God's love on the days when the enemy has just told you flat out that you are not a son, you are not a daughter, when you feel completely throwaway or completely invisible, like a nobody? Well, here's one little sentence I'm going to give you. It is packed with huge truth that will help you when you feel like a nobody. Do yourself a favor. Write these few words down. Memorize them. Repeat them to yourself. Write them on your mirror. Stick them on your cupboard, on your fridge. Speak them over yourself whenever you can. These are the words: "How I feel is not who I am. How I feel is not who I am." Say it loud over yourself until you get it. How I feel is not who I am. Tell the devil, go play in the traffic. If you've ever felt unimportant or insecure, you'll discover, like Gomer did, that you have never been invisible to God. Let us never forget the truth that we are not how we feel. It's not about feelings. It's not about emotions. We are God's somebody's. Let me say this. Never react emotionally to what goes on, what life throws at you. Don't get emotional about it. It's not the truth. We have to get back to just enjoying Jesus and resting, whew, in his promise to complete us and to present us spotless before the Father. Hear the sentence. One of our biggest challenges to living as sons and daughters of the Most High God. One of our biggest challenges is to learn to rest and receive, not work and earn. You need to rest and receive. Work on that. It's not easy. We are so used to working to obtain, working to belong, working to please, working to be loved. But that is the orphan spirit working. The sonship spirit has learned that all that the Father has is ours as well. We are co-heirs with Christ. We share in his inheritance. We no longer have to work to obtain what we already have, belonging and God's favor. And we no longer have to work furiously to get to where we already are, in the very heart of the family of God. We need to learn to rest and receive. So I remind you today, as I always do, you're not designed to be defeated by a spirit of sonship, of orphanship, orphanhood. You were designed to have a victorious life as a son and daughter, living in the freedom of the cross. But you need to partner with God. Get his truth out of his word. Get it. Lay hold of it. Make it yours, so that you can write this next chapter. Partner with God to speak these things over your life, over your family, your marriage, your business, your finances, your ministry, your health, your relationships. Come on, so that you can live strong and end strong in the winner's change room. Your question again, will you let God work in your heart? Let's just pray. Father, as we prayed before, thank you that Christ has set us free from the spirit of orphanhood. And he has set us free for the freedom of sonship as we walk in this grace that we don't deserve and we have never earned and cannot pay for. Help us to come to a revelation of just enjoying Jesus, enjoying ourselves, enjoying the people that you have made around us. Help us to trust you to sanctify us totally and present us spotless to the Father to finish what you have started, Jesus. Help us to show the life-changing power of your love to others, that they too may step into the freedom of sonship. deliver us from religious stinking thinking, from wrong mindsets. Tear down those strongholds in the name of Jesus. Replace them with your truth, Lord, in Jesus' name. And in anticipation, we thank you now, Father, for what you are doing even now and what you are still going to do. We pray now, Holy Spirit, please minister to us, touch us, impart to us what we need for now. You are God in our now. God now. Thank you for your truth. May none of it be stolen. In Jesus' name, I forbid it. Amen and amen. That's it. That's a lot and all I got. With love from me to you. Thank you for spending this time with me. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. It helps me to keep making these messages. And if you want to, partner with me as I partner with God. Send this message far and wide. Help as many people as possible with the truth that will set them free. Until we meet again at the watering hole. Shalom, my friend. May you and yours be richly blessed. I love you, my friend, with the love of the Lord. Stay well.